This week's gospel passage follows immediately after last week's in Luke. If you recall, last week we heard Luke's version of the Beatitudes, which together with what we just heard today form what became known as the Sermon on the Plain, P-L-A-I-N, as opposed to Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. And recently, when I was searching for the Beatitudes online, I ran across something called Satan's Beatitudes. Satan's Beatitudes, which was interesting because, you know, a lot of people don't think Satan exists, but he does. His name means accuser, the accuser. They're not really the inverses or the opposites of the Beatitudes that we would hear in the Gospels, but one in particular has something to say about the way we might think about some of these really radical teachings from Jesus. So let me share them with you so you see what I mean. Satan's Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are too tired, too busy, too distracted to spend an hour once a week with their fellow Christians in church. They are my best workers. Blessed are those who wait to be asked and expect to be thanked. I can use them in my business. Blessed are those who are touchy. Soon they will stop going to church. Verily, they shall be my missionaries. Blessed are those who sow gossip and trouble. They are my beloved children. Blessed are those who have no time to pray, for they are my prey. And this final one really challenges Christians in different situations regarding different teachings, doctrines, readings from the Bible, like the one we just heard. You know, imagine, you know, that we know what our own internal attitudes are. Satan probably has a pretty good idea what those attitudes are. Imagine you just heard what I read just now in the gospel, and behind you, you hear this voice whisper, "Blessed are you when you hear this," and think it has everything to do with other people and nothing to do with you. I've got room for you in my inn. I've got room for you in my inn. Now these sayings of Jesus that we just heard, you know, they seem exaggerated. Seems like a bunch of exaggerations or a collection of extremes. You know, we know that Jesus used exaggerations sometimes to make certain points. Is that what he's doing here? Or is he laying down rules that we should follow literally? Or we can ask, do these really apply to us? For example, this command to love your enemies. You know, under the old covenant, loving your neighbor meant loving everyone within the covenant family of Israel. But obviously, Jesus is widening the scope here to include everyone, even our enemies. And that was something that was revolutionary. And it still is. It still is. You know, even among people who call themselves followers of Jesus. So what does loving enemies look like in practice? Well, Jesus gives us some examples, but those examples seem about as radical as the command. Returning a blessing for a curse, right? Turning the other cheek. Not withholding your shirt from someone who takes your coat from you. And all of the other ones. So what's Jesus doing here? What's the point? It sounds like he wants fundamental attitudes to change. And we think about our own attitudes. Have they really changed? You know, maybe we just don't think this applies to us. In which case, listen for that whisper behind you. I've got room for you at my inn. Jesus talks about lending to others and not expecting anything back. He talks about being merciful. Now, in the Old Testament, God's people were commanded to imitate God's holiness. And so they believed that they had to separate themselves from other people. Everything ungodly, everything impure, you know, including these Gentiles over here and these sinners over here. We have to separate ourselves from them. But Jesus is giving holiness a new focus. It's about mercy. Mercy that reaches out to others, that doesn't divide people, doesn't disqualify people. You know, and it doesn't sound like he's carved out any exceptions to that among us. We're not to judge and condemn other people, right? But we are to be merciful. Or maybe we don't think this applies to us. If you don't think this applies to you, better listen to that voice over your shoulder. I've got room for you in my inn. So what's going on here? It's all about what the Father wants. That's what Jesus is all about. What does the Father want? You know, from the Hebrew perspective, parents want to reproduce character traits in their kids. You know? And Jesus is simply using the same logic here. As the Father is compassionate, so we are to be compassionate. The Father is forgiving and loving, even toward the ones who are unfaithful and undeserving. So his children need to imitate those characteristics. To be kind to everyone and stop condemning other people. Of course, we know the world doesn't work this way. But how do we deal with these apparent exaggerations? Well, St. Thomas Aquinas wrote about this one time. And he wrote that Holy Scripture needs to be understood in the light of the example of Christ and the saints. Jesus gives us examples himself of how to live these things out, right? Even nailed to the cross. He asked his Father to forgive the people who had done that to him. Saint Stephen, the first martyr of the church, is being stoned to death in the street. And he asked the Lord not to hold that sin against his persecutors. So we have those kinds of examples to fall back on. Saint Thomas goes on to say, Christ didn't offer the other cheek to be struck in the house of Annas when he was on trial. Nor did St. Paul, when we're told in the Acts of the Apostles, he was beaten in Philippi. Right? St. Thomas says, we shouldn't think that Christ literally meant you should offer your cheek to someone who strikes you. What he was talking about was your inner disposition, the way we think. What are our attitudes? You know, if necessary, we have to be willing to tolerate people who seem to be intolerant. Not to tolerate sin, but to tolerate other people and not condemn other people. We should be ready not to put up with bad treatment if that's what comes our way. He says that was how the Lord acted when he was surrendered to death. Of course, maybe we don't think these things apply to us. If you don't think these teachings apply to you, listen over your shoulder. I've got room for you in my inn.